Father, I pray that you'd bless and honor your word and use me in spite of this introduction. And Lord, we pray that you would just touch our hearts and that you would minister your word. Your word never comes back void. And we trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason I mentioned that you really ministered the word this morning is because the word that the Lord put on my heart was, be elastic, not plastic. How many of you would like to be used of the Lord? I mean, truly used of the Lord. A few of you, anyway. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. I am in the right group. This is okay. Good. You've fulfilled one of the three criteria that God has requires for using someone for his purposes, and that's willingness. The others are a combination of what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, and they are availability and obedience. If you remain flexible, elastic, there's no telling what God can do through you. Touching a person who's considering committing suicide, touching 400 people's lives by volunteering to serve Thanksgiving dinner to them, there's no telling what God can do through you. In fact, the Lord wants to use you, doesn't he? He wants us to be his hands and feet here on earth. And if you have Jesus living inside of you, you're an incredible ambassador already for his kingdom. But do you make room for him? Or are you plastic, inflexible? Are you so planning and agenda-driven that you miss the God-given opportunity to be used of the Lord? You know, being so busy being busy that there's precious little room for the Holy Spirit to lead you where he wants you to impact lives for him. I confess I have fallen countless times into this mud. Over the years, I'm sure you've heard countless stories from my brother, my wonderful anointed brother, about our childhood. And you can trust that for the most part, they're true. Let me tell you about an aspect of our lives that impacted me growing up. My wonderful brother Kevin and my older brother Newell and I, meaning our family, we moved a lot. For sure, for all of us, moving had a huge impact on us. It was a big, big thing. Each time, this major event would rip us away from friends, schools, teachers, sports, extracurricular activities that we loved and got involved in, and even the surroundings that we'd become comfortable and familiar with. We knew where the store was. We knew where our friends' houses were. Sometimes it was actually a relief, depending on what was going on at the time in that location. But mostly it was just traumatic. And from grade school to the start of high school, we averaged 2 schools a year. From first grade until my sophomore year, we moved 18 times. I remember Mom and Dad would sit us down for the talk. And we would brace ourselves for the dreaded words, "We're moving." And it always sounded logical and reasonable because they would tell us about the great career move that was going to happen and all the great things about the next location and the school district that would be awesome and the neighborhood that was going to be really nice. And yeah. But it sounded like Charlie Brown's parents in one of his movies. Wah, 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 wah. That's all we heard. Because we heard it through our little filters. And all we heard was, here we go again. We're going to rip you away from all your friends. All the sports that you love to play here. Didn't we tell you not to get too comfortable in this location? Didn't we tell you not to have too much fun here? Well, after a while, I started to catch on. I actually kept my boxes, all two of them, packed. Except for the stuff that I really wanted to play with. Mainly it was my basketball and my baseball mitt. But the rest basically just stayed in boxes because I knew if I pulled it out and put stuff away, very soon we'd get the talk. We'd be whisked away to another location and we'd have to brave going to a new school and facing all the challenges that come with cliques and making the team and new curriculums and yada, yada, yada. Well, this had a huge impact on me even to this day. As a result, I am all about keeping things incredibly simple and uncluttered. If we do not use something, I ask Patty if we really need it, and I'm ready to give it away or sell it at a garage sale or put it on Craigslist. If we don't use that thing, it's out of here. I'm done. The furthest distance we ever moved was from Lake San Cristobal, Colorado, to Seattle, Washington, 1,472 miles by truck and U-Haul. I Google mapped it, so I know how far the distance was. Didn't know at the time. And the most treacherous move we ever made was from Reno, Nevada, to Pocatello, Idaho, in a driving snowstorm. It's crazy how these things just are etched in your memory. And it's also crazy how time and perspective can change major events like this. I now can actually see God's hand in our nomadic lifestyle. In fact, after my senior year in high school, I was truly saved by the love of and sacrifice for Jesus just for me. But it wasn't when I was home. It wasn't when I was in church. It was when I was a traveling salesman and I was living out of a suitcase on the road away from home. That's when Jesus met me. One thing's for sure, after 40-some moves now in my life, you can either become an old wineskin or you can remain soft and pliable. When Jesus began his public ministry, he chose this kind of lifestyle. In Matthew chapter 8, let's turn there if we can. Matthew chapter 8, and in verse 18, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." You know, Jesus grew up in a home, but in his public ministry, he remained unencumbered by possessions, including even houses, so that he could remain pliable to do, to go, to say whatever Father God wanted him to. He was willing, available, and obedient. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Another great example. Starting in verse 16. It says, "As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation.' And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, 'These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice.' Well, the crowd joined in." Verse 22. "They joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Verse 25. "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, just like we were this morning. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself. We're all here.' And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God." Willing, available, and obedient. Wait a second. We're doing what we think we're supposed to be doing, the call of God. We're preaching the gospel to people, and then you allow us to be beaten and thrown in jail? Ha ha. Just so we could be used to help a jailer and his family receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Elastic, not plastic. We have no idea when we're going through the situations that we're going through what plans God has in the journey. If we're willing, available, and obedient. Guess who's coming to dinner? I don't know, but let's feed 5,000 plus women and children. What do you think? I think I'll raise my friend Lazarus from the dead after he's been dead for days. What do you think about that? But I can't go until the appointed time, because the Father wants to be glorified. With Thanksgiving upon us and Christmas right around the corner, let's have our Holy Spirit antenna up and be watching for divine opportunities, whether it's here in Port Ludlow or Germany. to be elastic. Pastor Kevin and my grandfather, our mother's dad, James Powell, he was a minister of the gospel, loved the Lord, and my mom grew up in this home. Well, one of the things that he insisted on was that they set an extra place at the table every night, because you never know when strangers will show up. And more so than not, according to my mom, strangers would show up and come for dinner. And after dinner, they would no longer be strangers in the Powell family. Elasticity. It keeps us young, doesn't it? And when a rubber band gets brittle, it's no longer of any use. It snaps, and we need a new one. My wife, Patty, wasn't able to come this weekend. She's so much my better half. She was planning on it. We were planning on her being with us. In fact, we had our younger daughter, Emily, and her three children, our three grandsons, or two grandsons and a granddaughter. All were going to be coming this morning, but unfortunately, Patty's dad, who's 94 and has pretty advanced Parkinson's, was hospitalized. He was unable to swallow and so was unable to get his meds in him, and he was not able to breathe. So once they were able to get him stabilized and get him to the place where he was able to swallow again, he begged her not to leave. And Patty was willing. And obedient to stay. And she was available. And that's all God asks us to be, isn't it? It's very simple, you guys. It's very simple. And I'm so grateful, because when she called me and told me what was going on, I said, it's a no-brainer for us, isn't it? She said, I want to be with you, Brad. I want to be with the church family up in Port Ludlow, but I need to be here for Dad. So she sends her greetings and she sends her love. But my wife was willing and available and obedient. Let's turn to Matthew 25. I'm hitting you with scriptures this morning, but they're all scriptures that we're familiar with, but it just really hit me that being elastic and not plastic is just, at least it's hitting me where I'm at. In verse 31 of Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He'll sit down on His glorious throne. Don't you just love God's Word? I mean, just let it wash over you this morning. Let it minister into the very bones of your being. Verse 32. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He'll place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For Gail, here's where you preached the word. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Willing, available, and obedient. And in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You've answered correctly. Do this, and you'll live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. Whatever you're faced with, whatever opportunity comes your way, it always helps to remain flexible, doesn't it? Guaranteed, if you have Jesus living in you, the Holy Spirit will present you with opportunity. If you're willing, available, and obedient, He'll use you to bless someone and bring glory to His name. As a child of God, you've been gifted with the superpower of elasticity. Let's watch it in action, actually. Here's a short clip from the animated movie, The Incredibles. Man and his wife each have superpowers, and when they have children, they have their own unique superpowers as well. The mom's superpower happens to be elasticity, and Elastigirl helps fight bad guys attempting to take over the world.